Straight Talk on WRHI is presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Now here's Manning Kimmel broadcasting live from Substation 2 on Cherry Road in Rock Hill with Straight Talk, selected by the South Carolina Broadcasters Association as the state's top public affairs program.
And a good afternoon. Welcome into Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, for another edition of our Straight Talk program, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Anderson Griggs Investments in Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors, online at AndersonGriggs.com. Our thanks as well to Piedmont Medical Center, a community built on care, PiedmontMedicalCenter.com. And to HighSpeedWeb.net that streams our signal 24/7, 365. Well, the bond referendum, which was going to be coming up for the Rock Hill School District here at the end of the month, has been shelved thanks to the coronavirus issue that's spreading across the nation. But there's always two sides to every story. And, of course, we have the other side today, Paul Andrico and Swain Shepherd, who are with us today. They are represent two different organizations that are very opposed to the bond referendum. And before we get into that, I love your Chicago logo shirt you have on here today.
Chicago Bears.
Yeah, of course, the Bears. Okay, Paul, tell everybody a little bit about you.
Okay, I live in Rock Hill. I moved here in 2001, and I love living here. My wife and I are originally from Chicago, and we have six grandchildren, five that live in town. So we're excited about being here. And currently, I'm the president of the Reaganites. We're a conservative PAC in South Carolina.
Yeah. So you're a retired professional.
Yes.
What did you used to do before you came on down here?
I was a regional salesman for selling wood doors.
Wood doors. Oh, my
yes.
God. This would be a great place to have been doing business down here.
It was.
All right, Swain Shepherd, you're up, buddy. Get a little closer there.
I'm vice president treasurer of GPS Conservatives for Action PAC, and we're mostly in the local area. We've been doing this probably for 10 years since Mick Mulvaney got elected.
Right.
But I've lived in Rock Hill since I was 12. I moved from Saluda, South Carolina. And I love the city. And I love everything. I love the way it's growing. And it's a great place to live.
And boy, do we have a lot going on here. Oh, jeez, Zooey. My gosh. Okay, so the bond referendum, part one, as I call it, $294 to $295 million. It's got a whole bunch of stuff that it's supposed to do, and I don't have all of my notes here. Yeah. But this has obviously caught your attention, Paul.
Yes, it did. It was funny. The Friday before the school board took a vote on Monday, I walked into Pep Boys and ran into Terry Hutchison, who's a member of the board, and he asked me for my support on the bond, for the Rock Hill School bond. I go, what bond issue? He caught me flat-footed. I had no idea what he was talking about. So then I looked into it, and I gave Swain a call, and we both started looking into it, and it passed on Monday with no public readings that we know of. It was a shot in the dark to us. So
when you said that to Mr. Hutchison, who's a member of the Rock Hill School Board, yeah. Was he surprised that you didn't know anything about this?
Oh, he was shocked. He thought everybody knew. I said, how would you know that? And Helena Miller said, oh, we've had all these meetings. I said, you must have had them by yourself because nobody knows about it. And I asked Britt Blackwell, who used to be on the school board, hey, Britt, do you know about this? He goes, you're just telling me for the first time. So, no, this was a surprise to everybody. I think they had their inner meetings at the schools and so forth, but they didn't have a public meeting until a few weeks back.
All right. So what about you, Swain? I mean, you knew nothing about it until
you
got a call from Paul?
I wanted to call Paul Revere because the first I heard of it was from Paul, and he talked to Terry. So I immediately sent an email to Terry and asked him for some information about it. And I said, do you have a hard copy? Well, Terry didn't have this full copy. It's 104 pages that we've got a hard copy now. So we went, looked on the internet, looked at it, and said, wow, I don't understand some of these things that are in here. Now, if you want me to go into that now, some of the things that gave me heartburn.
Well, but that's, I'm glad you anticipated my very first question.
Yeah.
Because I'm sure as you look through here, there's some things that might make sense and others that don't make sense.
Yeah.
Is that fair to say?
Yeah.
All right. So how did you all go about digesting this? Did you kind of do it together? Did each group do it separately and then compare their notes? I mean, how?
Well, we were talking with each other, and his wife, Mary Ann, is really good. She's an accountant, goes into detail.
Oh, boy.
She is good. And I was going on the website, and they got the hard copy. But then we started listening about the capacity, no growth for 10 years. And, you know, we started making notes about it. And the dollar amount kept on changing a little bit. What they would tell people, I had people say it was only $8 a year or $30 a year. I said, no, that ain't correct. So we had different stories. So we finally just did our due diligence about what was happening. And the school district, you know, when we went to their meeting, open forum meeting, we asked them questions on little note cards. They refused to answer our questions.
Well, they didn't necessarily refuse.
They didn't refuse. Yeah, go ahead.
Well, we had to write them down. Okay, and Paul mentioned capacity and then the increase in students in the next 10 years. And so I wrote a question. I said, what's the student increase going to be in the next 10 years projection-wise? I read in the book 297 students in the next 10 years for a total of 297 students. And I said, the capacities that you currently have looks like you've got 3,300 students that could fit in the existing. You just don't have, you got more capacity than you need. Well, they didn't say that and when they got our question on that. They just said something about the capacity, and we've done studies. But when you look at the capacities in the book that they've written or put out by the consultants, there are 12 elementary and middle schools that are under 75% capacity. And we're projecting only a 300 student increase in the next 10 years. So we're saying, I'm an accountant also. I'm looking at this capacity things. I said, you know, we need to get students to these schools that are in better shape than the other ones and shut the five or six of them down. Get our capacities up to speed in the schools that are in good shape. So I'm thinking dollars. I'm thinking, you know, how much money would we save maintenance-wise if we did that? And that's what concerned me about the whole thing, that they weren't considering. And we talked to some people after the meeting and said, well, we're considering doing some of that, Swain. I said, well, it needs to be in the book if you're going to do it. If you're going to shutter some of the existing schools, put it in the book, tell us how many you're going to do and what are you going to do with the students. And he said, and then, you know, that's where my wife and I and Paul, and the capacity thing and the number of increase in students kind of says $295 million, and another person that we know said, that's $1 million a student for this bond. $1 million a student. I said, yeah, you're right. So, I mean, that's where we're at on a lot of this stuff.
So let me see if I got this thing right. When you went through all these numbers and you saw that there was a lot of excess capacity at the existing schools that we have, your thought process is, well, why don't we just, as you say, shutter or close down or knock down or whatever, schools that are older and probably beyond spending money on rehabbing, and pour some dollars maybe into these other schools where you'd push these kids and see what those numbers would add up to?
Well, one of the things that, you know, Superintendent Cook invited me to visit two schools. One was York Road Elementary, and the other one was Sullivan Middle School. And he didn't know that I substitute taught for 2 years at Sullivan Middle School, so I was very familiar with it. So we went there at Sullivan. They showed me the beautiful new Cherry Elementary School. But what they didn't want to show me, and they did by mistake, was the modernization of the wing they took away from Sullivan Middle School, which was... The modernization was beautiful. New floors, ceilings, paint, and new furniture. It was just fantastic looking. And I asked Superintendent Cook, I said, if you could do this for one wing, why don't you do this for the whole Sullivan Middle School and keep the school? And he goes, it's old. I said, well, there's a lot of old buildings in downtown Rock Hill they're refurbishing. So I don't understand it. So the key was, he said, well, we might not shut down Sullivan after all. We might keep it. I said, well, are you going to put more elementary kids in it? Well, maybe. So, you know, he talked both sides. We're going to shut it down. We're going to knock it down. Where are you going to put the students? They didn't have the real answers. And that really bothered me. Man, if you went and saw that Sullivan addition where they modernized it, you would say, wow, this is fantastic.
Okay, so I understand that the capacity versus the numbers of and I find it hard. You're saying that data shows that the projections over the next 10 years is that we're only going to add a little less than 300 students to, I can't read it anyway because I haven't got my glasses on, but
okay. 297.
297 students at the elementary school level?
No, overall.
Overall in the whole district,
yes,
are going to be added over a 10-year period.
Right. Mm-hmm. That's right here in the book.
Yeah. Okay.
Is that puzzling?
That's an interesting question that you raised. Yeah.
Well, demographics tell you people from Charlotte are moving to Rock Hill without kids, children. People from Fort Mill escaping their high taxes to move to Rock Hill. So, I mean, it's obvious that the kids, they're moving without children. And if you look at next door, the neighborhood, page in the email, I escaped from Charlotte. I don't want to pay all these higher taxes. So. But, so demographics have shown different growth patterns. And, a couple of people say, oh, the capacity. There is none.
Well, let me add something to that student growth. It's a sentence in what they put out. Even when we return to periods of high growth, the revolutionary trends in technology, school choice, and pedagogy now occurring will likely overshadow the need to simply build more classrooms. They put that in here. I mean, they're being transparent about it, but nobody was reading it, I don't think, that wants this thing. I mean, and we'll talk about the dollars and what it's going to do to your property, my property, and Paul's property whenever you're ready.
Yeah. And, and renters, they should. Just jumping into it, 50% of children that go to Rock Hill schools are, reduced lunch children. So if you take a look at that, they rent. They're the biggest renters. And their property, that owner of that rental is going to charge more for that property, and they're going to pass it on to the renters. So it affects everybody, not just the business people, yourself, Swain and I in our homes. It's all the way down the line.
Let's step back. Let's talk about the cost. Because you said when you first started, got into this thing, the projected cost, I don't know where you got that from, are going to be minimal, $8 or $9 or $10 or $20 a year or something.
Well, but he then sold a six-pack of beer.
Yeah, a six-pack of beer.
Yeah, I saw Paul.
Right, I don't know.
Yeah, truck pack, whatever.
But then as this thing, I guess, became more finalized, and the information that was coming out from the school district showed a much different picture. And if I remember this thing, the way it is proposed now, on a $100,000 residence assessed value, you're going to see your tax bill go up $106, I think, per year.
Correct.
So I don't know too many $100,000 homes, but let's just say if you had a $200,000 home, you would double that, $212 a year.
Correct.
Now, if you have a business, the 106 becomes what? 159. Okay. And you can do the math and see what's going to be involved there.
Well, I go to a chiropractor, and we told her about this thing, and she says, I'm already paying $20,000 a year in property taxes. And she says, I don't want any more taxes. I don't want any more taxes, Manning, she said. And I know another woman who owns some rental property. She sold it. Well, she hadn't sold it. She still owns it. Her tax bill is $10,000 a year. It's going to go up $500 or $600 or $700 next year based on this bond referendum if it passes.
Now, of course, not all that tax dollar is going to the school district. That's going to
71%.
Yeah, okay, which is the point I was going to make. I mean, most of everybody's tax bill goes to the school district.
Yeah.
I got that.
Yeah.
Now, some people would argue, and I've heard this argument, and I understand what they're saying. Act 388 eliminated all of the of your primary residence taxation for schools. Took it out. Bingo. So we're kind of living in a wonderland right now in terms of what our tax bill realistically should be to support the school systems.
Correct.
All right? I mean, I it's just amazing to me that my tax bill on my house is less than $1,500 a year. I mean, it's just nuts. And I think I live in a nice house.
Yeah.
So I personally don't have any problem with throwing some more dollars into whatever the schools might need if I understood exactly what it is that the schools needed, which I really don't know all this plan as well as you all do. Well, is that a fair statement to say where you are on this thing? I mean, when you say you don't want any more taxes and you realize what Acts 388 has done.
What I look into is when I saw the referendum on the bond, what they were going to do. You know, it's a simple one page, and you vote yes or no. But they don't tell you where the money is being spent. So on the last bond, I was told by officials that don't want to be named that the $105 million didn't get where it was supposed to go. So I think if they ever do the bond issue again, they need to say Sullivan gets $3 million and have somebody go in there and say, you know, a contractor go in there and say what they really need to do, like you mentioned earlier. But that wasn't done.
Much like Pennies for Progress.
Yes.
Pennies for Progress has this big, long ballot that says we're going to spend so much here, so much here, so much here, so much here, so much here. And, of course, the way they go about it with Pennies for Progress is, you know, they have the Citizens Committee that goes all over the place, takes a look at what needs to be needed, have all these citizen meetings, very, very open process.
Bingo. You hit it right. If the school district would have done that, Swain and I wouldn't be here today talking to you probably.
Well, I don't know about that.
You just like talking, man.
I understood what you said about you don't mind paying more taxes if it's going to be used properly.
I got you.
And you're saying spell it out, and that's what we're asking, because with the capacity and the increase, small increases in students in the next 10 years, we just don't see the need. But I'm not saying we're experts in that. We're not convinced that they really need that much money.
Yeah. All right. Go ahead.
You know, when I was with Lieutenant Cook the other day, I said, when he was talking about the poor furniture, I said, that's your problem. You needed to budget money in for furniture every year. You know, all businesses budget money every year for their problem. And he goes, well, the vehicles need to be replaced. I said, that's a budget problem, not a referendum budget. And, I think he was talking to the wrong person.
Okay, we're going to take our mid-program break. Remind you that you are listening to Straight Talk live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Anderson Griggs Investments at Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors, online at AndersonGriggs.com. And our thanks to Good Pharmacy, your hometown pharmacy, Ebenezer Road at Camden Avenue in Rock Hill. And of course, guys, we hang out here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop. Fresh subs and salads prepared right before your eyes 7 days a week. There's a magical way to do it, and we're going to tell you out loud how it's done. 1, 2, 3.
Slice, slice, slice. Slice, slice.
Garden, 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 garden. Not bad. Back after these words.
If it's 12:30, it's Straight Talk on WRHI.
Enjoy everything at Substation 2 while maximizing social distancing. You can either call us and we'll take the order on the phone, or you can go to mysubstationii.com, click on the appropriate tab for online ordering or third-party delivery. There's always a way to enjoy Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop.
Gold Hill Emergency Department is now open. This is Michelle Walk, ED Director at Piedmont Medical Center. Gold Hill ED is Fort Mill's first standalone emergency room, open 24/7, 365, offering all the services of a hospital-based emergency room with 12 treatment areas. Whatever the medical issue, our team of emergency medical professionals is ready to treat your family, well, when it matters most. Stop by the ED at Gold Hill Road and pick up a free first aid kit. Visit goldhiller.com to learn more.
This is Danny Rogers with Paul Davis Restoration and Remodeling. If your home or business is damaged by water, fire, storm, or mold, Paul Davis is here to help. We are staffed with over 35 trained and certified professionals to handle any type of property damage. Our team mission is to provide extraordinary care while serving our neighbors in their time of need. Whether you need repairs in one room or rebuild a whole home, Paul Davis is here to help. Find us online at pauldavisrockhill.com.
Nicole Thompson, assistant principal at Griggs Road Elementary School in Clover.
The connectivity program, it's more than just academics. It became helping them to feel part of a school system, have a voice in their building and inside of their classrooms, but it also provided us an opportunity to really get to know families one-on-one. Technology is a gateway for students to really see their potential and what 21st century learning is all about and to be ready. Luckily, Comporium was willing to get on board, helping us to educate our students.
Hear the full story at humantech.comporium.com.
Now available from Founders Federal Credit Union, Dividend AMP. Dividend AMP is the easiest way to fund Founders Loyalty Select, our highest yield savings account. Enroll in Dividend AMP today, and the dividends from your eligible interest-bearing accounts may qualify for Dividend AMP transfers. Log into Founders Online to enroll today. Relax, we're helping you amp up your savings. Account restrictions apply, federally insured by NCUA.
Good Pharmacy, taking care of families for four generations.
This is pharmacist Kia Hicklin. We have six pharmacists that are knowledgeable, friendly, and ready to get to know your family and their needs.
My mom loves Good Pharmacy.
Ebenezer Road at Camden Avenue, Rock Hill.
Enjoy everything at Substation 2 while maximizing social distancing. You can either call us and we'll take the order on the phone, or you can go to mysubstationii.com, click on the appropriate tab for online ordering or third-party delivery. There's always a way to enjoy Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop.
Straight Talk continues now on WRHI. Brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders.
And back we are here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, as we continue our discussion with two gentlemen, Paul Andico and Swain Shepherd, with the Reaganites and with GPS Conservatives. And it's all about the upcoming school bond referendum, which, of course, that vote has been postponed. Let me just take a moment here and tell everybody that during this era of uncertainty over everything in the world, Substation 2 is doing all kinds of interesting things to maximize the popular terminology now, social distancing. So here's how it works, real simple. You can either call right into the restaurant, they'll take the order on the phone, or if you don't even want to do that, you can go online to a substation, mysubstationii.com. You click on the appropriate tab for online ordering or third-party delivery. You can't make it much simpler than that. So there's no reason whatsoever, if you don't want to come in here and sit next to me, that's okay, and yell out, slice, 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 garden, garden, garden. You can do it online. Grab it, pick it up anyway. They make it as simple as they possibly can, and we hope that you will keep that in mind as you're getting hungry out there. Okay, the impact on all of this. If it is passed, you obviously have taken a look at the impact on small businesses and homeowners. Paul?
Yes. You know, Sunday, Mike Bagwell put a full ad out, and he has two more planned how it affects business, and he just says he owns a bunch of rental properties, and it's just going to cost his business tremendous. And he has to charge, pass on the rent to everybody. And I had an interesting conversation at PW's ice cream the other day and talking to Wayne, and he says he didn't realize how big this tax was. He says, God, I'd be charging $7 an ice cream cone. Who's going to pay $7? He doesn't charge that now, but he's just freaked out about the future taxes are going to hurt him personally.
It is, I guess, as you pointed out to begin with, at the beginning of the show, there's obviously a lot of people who know nothing about this thing.
That is true.
Know nothing about it. Swain, I understand you're ready to jump in with something.
I just read, you know, your business. It's going to impact what your radio station's worth, and you're going to pass that on to the advertisers, I guess. I don't know. Maybe you won't. Maybe you'll eat it. You don't like a pay cut either. But the $104 or $106 is a misnomer, because if you go out and eat at Applebee's, how much are those buildings worth?
Oh, my Lord.
I mean, they're going to pass that. Your menu prices are going to go up. Are you going to see that? No, you're not. But they're going to be higher. Yeah. So the taxpayer always gets the brunt of any tax increase, and no matter how small or big, it's going to affect everybody.
So what happens now? I mean, everything's in limbo. We have no date for when this is going to be held. What are your two groups going to be doing between now and then? Are you going to try to maybe use this opportunity to see if there's a way to work with whatever this group is that's pro this?
We would love to sit down with them earlier in August to talk about this. And, well, I don't know what the law is, if they have to go back through their, to the representatives on the school board to vote this to amend it or what. But we would love to sit down and work with them, see if we could go back to the drawing board and say, what do you really have to have? And have professional people go in there and look at Sullivan, look at, York Road. Take a look at the schools and see what they need. But I don't know if they're open-minded. He basically, the superintendent wants to build, according to what I've heard from people, he wants Rock Hill to be the Taj Mahal of schools. So I'm hoping he's open. I don't know if he is or not.
But that's a two-way street. I mean, you could go out, and if this dialogue were to occur, might also learn some things that you don't understand in terms of how the education process works. And you might find yourself agreeing to, okay, this makes sense to me. I understand it now.
Yeah. Well, so like you said earlier, Swain and I, with all the new buildings in York County that were built, the administration building, we went out and looked at all these buildings and realized, oh, yeah, this had to be done or had to be modernized. But we were not given, none of us were given this opportunity to do squat.
So I guess what this boils down to is the same thing we talked about right at the beginning. You just feel that had this process been more known to you, more public to you, whatever, and you had been there side by side, you might they would understand more about where your concerns are, and they, vice versa.
I agree. We had elected officials on the school board. Some of us supported. They kept it a secret. They didn't tell anybody either.
I don't know whether they did that on purpose or what. It just seems like that it was under wraps until. I'm not sure. I'm not sure we would have known about it if Paul hadn't talked to one of the school board members and he asked him to support the school bond. And Paul said, "What school bond?" I mean, it's just that simple that. We feel like they were trying to do it under wraps without anybody. And, maybe their own little clique was going to vote. I mean, another question is, why March 31st, Manning?
It's my birthday.
Well.
Great day. We'll come over and celebrate with cake.
But why not have it during the primary in June, when more people are voting?
Right.
And stuff like that. I mean, why have a separate vote for this?
That's not unusual. I mean, most bond referendums are on separate dates. Even the $89 million bond referendum.
Yeah,
I still don't understand that.
Well, Rock Hill City elections are on an odd day, too.
Yes, they are. All right, gentlemen, you've made your case very well. I thank you for being here. We've run out of time. Paul Andrico with GPS Conservatives and Swain Shepherd, Reaganites, and Swain Shepherd with Gianna, whatever the heck, you know who they are. And I thank you both for being here on our Straight Talk program today, and that's going to wrap it up. Presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Anderson Griggs Investments at Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors. Find out more online at AndersonGriggs.com. And, of course, Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop. Remember, you can order here any way you'd like. Come on in. You can do it over the phone. You can go to Substation, MySubstationII.com. Click on the appropriate tab, and it'll be even brought to you if you'd like to do it that way. Very simple, very easy way to enjoy the best sandwich anywhere in town. And they have a magical way of doing it, whether they you sit here and watch it or whether it's delivered to you. My main cheerleader, Sophia, has showed up again, and she is going to lead us in the charge. How do we do it, Sophia? 1, 2, 3.
Slice, slice, slice.
Not bad. All right, have a wonderful day. We'll see you on the radio tomorrow. Bye.
South Carolina's most honored radio station. News Talk 100.1 WRHI Rock Hill. W261 CY Rock Hill. The voice of York County.
An OTS media station.